Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the podcast. Very inconsistent per usual, but the fellas are back. We have the NFL draft today. If you're listening on Thursday, NBA playoffs are running. We got baseball and a whole lot more, but the podcast starts right now. Davis, welcome back, but not my best intro just because I was thinking about this draft, man. I was just laser focused on what might happen tomorrow because we were talking yesterday and I was really, really behind. But I'm caught up because the NFL draft is today, if you're listening on Thursday. Very exciting stuff, man.
It is very exciting. I feel that, especially since the Super Bowl ended and MLB has started, there has been nothing left until the NFL draft. I feel like my mind has just been soaked into what's going to happen in Green Bay today.
Yeah.
I'm really excited for it. I think we could see some surprises, but fun fact before we started off, Ethan, this is the first time in like 20 years, and there's still time. First time in 20 years or so that there hasn't been a trade in the first round until the draft starts, which is crazy. Interesting. And there has never been an NFL draft since the merger that did not have a first round trade, even during the draft. So we could be witnessing history if there are no deals made. But I think it just shows that teams are pretty content with who they're eyeing up with their pick in the draft.
For sure. And maybe something's going to happen tomorrow because – feels very off if there's no trades tomorrow, even if someone's, you know, doing the classic moving from 25 to 21 just to jump a couple teams to get their guy. We'll probably see that. But Davis, let's get into like the talent of this draft, because I was just thinking, and part of the reason I script the intro is just, this is such a weird draft. Like, it's not very deep with like really good talent. The way I've been told, the way I've been listening is there's a lot of starters and there's only a couple blue chip amazing talent kind of dudes. But the funny thing is that the high-end really good players are, I think, better than we've seen in a long time. Like, just thinking about Travis Hunter and Abdul Carter. Those two guys are some of the best prospects the NFL draft has ever seen. Yet, once we get outside of even the top, like, five or six, seven picks, it's going to be a lot of guys that have been deemed starters. And guys that, I mean, let's just get into it. Like, the number one pick, Cam Ward, everyone, you know, is pretty solidified on. This guy is being, I'm being told he would have been like the last quarterback taken in last year's draft. And, you know, last year's draft was very historic. So let's not, you know, be like, oh, he's not as good. He probably would go number one in like 75% of drafts in the last 15 years. But let's just put in that perspective. Cam Ward, great quarterback. You know, he's probably just right in the middle of, you know, what's actually pretty decent. But after that, Travis Hunter, the Shohei Ohtani of the NFL, possibly. I mean, the Giants have said publicly that they would possibly let him play both ways. It looks like he's probably going to Cleveland. So do you think that happens in Cleveland?
He did actually publicly say this week or last week that he really wants to play both ways.
Yeah.
It's very interesting because when he was kind of coming out with the combine, you know, getting his numbers and stuff, he was being labeled as a cornerback. But a lot more teams, especially if he gets drafted to Cleveland, people are saying they could really use him at receiver since they do need some help on that side of the ball, of course, with Joe Flacco possibly throwing the ball to him or Kenny Pickett to start the year. But, you know, it's been a while, obviously, since college football season, and it's not like people who are watching have been dedicated to what everything we've been saying in the past, but I have never been a giant Travis Hunter fan, especially on the offensive side. Now, I think he could be an elite blue chip cornerback, so I hope that he plays it that way. But, you know, we're turning
the
into
money's at receiver and everyone knows it.
Yep, exactly. I mean, financially is the right decision for him to go to receiver. But I just want to see the explosiveness work out in the NFL for him, because sometimes being the top guy in college doesn't really mean much when you get to the professional level.
Even like Charles Woodson was an amazing NFL player, but he was pretty you know, not as much as like Woodson was in high school, but like he was pretty dual threat. Even he had to choose a lane, and even that lane that he chose, like he was a great player. But I mean, you know, this Travis Hunter kid, he's going to go top two, probably two. Like, it's a lot of expectations, a lot of potential to be placed on you when, you know, you're not only really good at one position, you're good at two, and it's pretty much a toss-up which position you're better at. That's, it's a wild position to be in and something we've never really seen. So there's going to be some craziness, and, you know, there's a little dust, fairy dust being thrown around that the Giants and the Browns are looking into trades and yada, yada, yada. I'm sure they're just, you know, listening more closely than they were before. But Travis Hunter is such a good player. Like, you could see a Dallas, a San Francisco, a Miami trade up all the way to two to go get a guy like this because he's that good. So maybe the all quiet on the Western Front isn't a good thing. So we'll see.
Yeah, the one team that I have heard that has really apparently picked up the phone and tried to get this number two pick, and it's the only team I've heard do it, is actually Jacksonville. Apparently Jacksonville is just like enamored by Travis Hunter. Mm-hmm. They got a new GM in the house. They have a new coach in the house this year. I think that they think that Travis Hunter, you know, popularity wise is going to spark an interest. And I actually, I think that it's not the worst thing in the world for Jacksonville, but no. I still think that consensually through with everybody who's been deep diving into this draft thinks Abdul Carter is the number one guy on the big board. So
coming from two Penn State guys, but
look, I think Travis Hunter's a great player, but I still think that Abdul Carter should be this number two pick. I think it would make this Cleveland defense just insane with Miles Garrett on one side.
And yeah, I was going to say it probably has to do with them signing a gajillion dollars to Miles Garrett, because if Abdul Carter is on the off chance amazing his rookie year, Cleveland will be shooting itself in the head, being like,
yeah, this feels like Micah Parsons. This feels like a Micah Parsons thing where, why did Micah Parsons drop to 10? Like, I still don't know.
He's not going
to
drop past three, but yeah.
Right. But it still baffles my mind. Why are people looking at this and saying, oh, Abdul Carter is going to be slotted in at three? Like, I understand that he probably most likely is going three, but I still think that he could go one. I mean, I would personally put Cam Ward in my top five, maybe even top 10 on my big board. I just think Tennessee needs a quarterback so unbelievably desperately that they will do anything to get one. And they're just hoping that Cam Ward is their guy.
Yeah. I mean, as they should, like, it's not downgrade him. He's a great player. He pulled out some crazy wins in Miami last season. And, you know, a lot of people could throw it up to being fluky or whatever, but, you know, like they say, once it happens once, no shame on you, whatever the heck it is, but fool me twice, blame on you. And this guy, he fooled a couple of teams a couple times. The Cal game comes to mind. The Virginia Tech game, I think, comes to mind. They escaping places with wins, especially even if it's in the ACC, that's not nothing. So, you know, we'll see. He's been labeled like the most – what was it last year? Like the most nonchalant quarterback? Is that what they're calling him? Like, he would like walk out of bounds after like walking to scramble. Like, he could be a very electric player and might be something exactly like what Tennessee needs. But we could talk about the top three all day, because after the top three, Davis, it's not very interesting. There's a couple of players, like I think Ashton Gentry might go pretty high. It's been rumored that the Jaguars really, really like him, which isn't surprising because Liam Cohen probably needs to, you know, shove it down Tampa Bay's throat this year. Just be like, you let me walk? All right. Who knows what the Patriots will do with Vrabel, but, you know, it could be fun at six. Maybe we'll see. But the question I really want to ask is, how far is Shador going to fall?
It's a great question.
21 to the Steelers? Because Aaron Rodgers isn't signed yet.
I'm hearing talks of either 9 for New Orleans. I'm hearing talks of the Steelers at 21. Or the Browns at 33 in the second round. Those are what seems to be the options.
I heard the floor was the Steelers. That would stink.
No, I'm hearing things that he could drop into the second round. It's like, it's actually like 50-50 whether he goes at like 33 or 34 to the Browns and Giants.
The story is getting out of control.
I don't know. Apparently he's teams are saying that his interview process has been one of the worst that they've ever seen in NFL history, with how bad and overly confident and all this stuff. Look, he's Deion's kid. I get it.
I was going to say he's Deion's kid. Like that. What are you talking about?
There is this like thought process of like, he played with a terrible offensive line. Is that a good thing? Maybe, but is it a bad thing in the fact that he doesn't develop offense as well as a professional needs to be? I don't know. So. I don't know.
How can it be a good thing if you don't have an offensive line?
I'm hearing the Steelers might be more intrigued than Jackson Dart instead of Shedeur Sanders.
That's the most interesting part right there, is the Jackson Dart of it all.
Yes.
You think he really goes above Shedeur?
Personally, I don't think so.
I don't think so.
From everything I'm hearing, no. But there just is that slight chance. But especially because New Orleans needs a quarterback so unbelievably bad, because they have a new offensive coordinator in Kellen Moore, and Derek Carr looks like he actually might be out for the entire year.
I agree.
It's whether they trade down a little bit and still get Shedeur, or do they trade down a lot and maybe get Jackson Dart? I don't know. We could be seeing one. We could be seeing two or three quarterbacks in this draft. This might be before the draft even starts, the worst quarterback draft in the last decade.
The Kenny Pickett class. Don't forget the Kenny Pickett class. Desmond Ritter and Malik Willis.
Yep.
I'll never forget that. That was terrible.
Yeah, that was bad. That was bad too.
But the only thing I want to just throw in there is like, I could see New Orleans possibly getting Shedeur, but at the same time, New Orleans is, I think I've said this a million times, but they're so screwed with cap space, like super duper screwed in cap space. Like they have no movement. They might need to stink and ride it out with Derek Carr when he's healthy. And then if he's not, you know, take somebody second, third, fourth round, but it might be Spencer Rattler. Like if I'm the Saints, you need to stink this year. And maybe it's to get Arch Manning. Maybe that's it. But like, there's so much money that needs to come off the books there, but it would be very funny if New Orleans with Kellen Moore took Shedeur Sanders, when that doesn't sound like a good fit, like at all.
No, not in the slightest. Unless they trade down. Nine is just too much of a reach, in my opinion.
Yeah, I could see him maybe going to like Miami. Maybe Miami's a surprise team. Maybe Atlanta does it again. You never know.
I was just gonna say,
the Cardinals did it a couple years ago too.
Shocked us all last year after signing Kirk Cousins. So. You never know. I people think that the draft is so scripted of like what's going to happen, and like, look, I do think the first three picks are pretty scripted. It sounds with Ward, Hunter, and Carter, but I mean, look at last year. If you told me Penix was going to go 10, I would tell you you're crazy. None of the mocks had that. None of the news had that. Especially the Falcons. People had him in the second round by the end of the mocks.
No. Not last year. He was rising a lot at the end of last year.
The end of the first round. Ten was
thought of. He was above Bo Nix. He was still above Bo Nix last year.
But 10 was thought of as a reach. End to the Falcons.
I guess. Yeah. It was more of the spot for sure. Because, I mean, everybody knows how good last year's quarterback class is. We don't need to rehash that. All of them are going to probably be pretty decent, I would think. But before we move on, Davis, is there anything you think about for the Eagles at 32, or let's just whatever, we'll figure it out later?
Yeah, I think I've been
maybe edge rusher again. Who knows?
I've been hearing defense. I've been hearing safety. I've been hearing some talks, but I think the one position offensively that could be addressed is tight end. Tyler Warren will not be there.
I was going to say, don't say Tyler. Yeah, Tyler Warren will not be there. Shout out Tyler Warren.
Hopefully, I have seen him between like that 6 and 14-ish.
It makes sense to like the Jets or the Panthers.
Yeah, I've been seeing Jets, but I've also been seeing as low as the Colts at 14. But that
would be a great
the second, spot for the second tight end off the board, who I still think is very good. Michigan's
Mason Graham.
Is it Mason Graham? Is that?
Oh no, the tight end is Colson Loveland.
Caleb.
Colson Loveland.
Colson Love. Yeah. I wouldn't be shocked if we end up turning that and maybe trading Dallas Goedert on draft night.
Ooh. Yeah. My guy Joe Chun would love that. Joe Chun would love that.
I don't want to see Goddard go. He's such an integral piece of the puzzle.
Feels like the writing's on the wall though, because there were rumors about a week ago that the Giants were trying to trade for him. So we'll see what goes on with that front. But, you know, sometimes the best drafts are when there's nothing going on before it. When there's no talk about it other than, you know, the usual quarterback business with Shador. So who knows? Maybe we'll see like an A.J. Brown kind of trade on draft night kind of thing.
That's what we're saying.
Obviously not to our expense, but
correct
to somebody else.
Correct. Correct.
Yeah. Maybe
Tyreek Hill is the,
there you go. Bang.
That could be the word on the street. Is that is a
maybe Ayuk? We'll see. We'll see.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to the draft. But Davis, let's get to the NBA. It's NBA playoff time. We've already been talking about how out we are in the NBA the last couple of months. But even you and I get dragged. Not you and I. You. You will get dragged back into the playoffs because this is it's fun basketball. It's not the best every night at all. The Thunder Grizzly series is a great example of that.
Yeah,
some of them are ass kickings, but a series like the Knicks and the Pistons is super fun because the Knicks are, you know, up and coming, but they're kind of a very ugly basketball team to watch play basketball. And then on the flip side, the Pistons are they're fun and young and scrappy, and then you know, let's just shout them out. They got their first playoff win in 20 years. Is it almost 20?
I think it was 2008.
Okay, 2008.
So 18 years, which is crazy.
Yep, crazy. 18 years.
Ethan, I heard
that's a full child.
It is. I mean, this is the last time the Phillies won the World Series, which is also crazy to think about. I heard this thing today. I heard this thing today, and it resonated so well with me. I will only start caring about the NBA when the players start caring, and the players are caring now because it's the playoffs. So that's that's how That's how I'm gonna ride with the NBA from now on. They only care like 3 days a year, and it's opening night, Christmas, and maybe a rivalry game here or there.
Don't forget the in-season tournament. Please do not throw a shade on the NBA Cup.
I guess so. Those courts are terrible, though.
They're really bad.
These players are starting to care. So we have some investment. And look, they're playing defense. I think that's all anybody wants to ask for is some good defense and grinding games. And that's
again, don't ask the Grizzlies or the Heat that question, but everyone else. True.
Out of a few of these series, like Knicks, Pistons, Rockets, Warriors, and even the Nuggets and the Clippers, I mean, we're seeing already just Hall of Fame games.
The Nuggets and Clippers is going to be. It's going to be an all-time first-round series. I can smell seven games from here. I can smell it.
Yes.
It's it's going to be amazing. Game one was great. We didn't watch it because we were playing golf at the time, but it was an overtime thriller. It looked fun. I watched some of the highlights, but game two was that Monday night?
Yeah, Monday night.
Man, that was crazy. Kawhi, his knee turned back the clock fully. That thing is bionic Terminator style.
Like, 39 points. He went like
on like 15 for 19 shooting.
I was just gonna say, I'm off the top of my head, I'm pretty sure he went 15 for 19.
Yeah, he I think at one point was like 12 for 13 or something like that. Yeah. As Sixers fans, we know this all too well.
Playoff Kawhi is different.
When he's healthy, playoff Kawhi is a top three animal. Alive. That includes the jungle tiger and the crocodile, probably. And then it's the bionic Kawhi.
I agree.
Like, this man, like, he shoots he still shoots the line drive jumper hard as hell. It looks like it's going 100 miles an hour fastball, but it hits back of the rim swish. And you're like, what?
Yep.
What?
Yep.
I mean, this it's guy.
Butter. It is so butter.
He's so good. And then also, let's give some credit to James Harden because. Having two guys like that in the clutch, it's crazy. And Ty Lue's a great coach. Mm-hmm. Zubac is a very underrated center. Norman Powell is probably – he's not a six man, but he's the most underrated player in the NBA right now. He's averaging like 23 a game. But obviously, Kawhi missed a lot of games that probably helped that. Yeah. But Norman Powell's a bucket. I love watching Norman Powell.
He should have won six man of the year, but he missed a lot of time after the All-Star break, unfortunately.
Yeah, I think it went to –
He's a great player.
Stupid idiot, Peyton Pritchard. So whatever, Peyton.
Speaking of the Celtics, I think we've got some predictions that we should be throwing up
here. We'll get there in a second. Okay. We'll get there in a second because the Celtics Magic series. Hold on, the Celtics Magic series. The Celtics are going to sweep them, but watch every game. That's my only comment. I think the Magic are frisky and fun. I love watching Paolo play. He's fun, but the Celtics are going to win in four.
Mm-hmm.
Right, those two things could be said together.
Yeah, even Jason Tatum, tonight for the Celtics, I still think that they win.
Yeah, and then also, let's give some credit to the Pacers. They are kicking the Bucks' ass. They're up 2-0. What do you think about the Pacers?
I think they're very good until they run into the Cleveland Cavaliers. I think the Bucks, in my opinion, I'm going through the list of teams. I think the Bucks are the most overrated team on this, maybe the worst team.
Well, Davis, who's their head coach? Come on.
Because it's not Mike Budenholzer anymore.
I was setting this up for you. It's Doc Rivers.
Oh, my God.
Do you know who their first lead assistant is? Do you know who their first lead assistant is?
Is it Sixers legend Sam Cassell?
Unfortunately not. It's Darvin Ham.
Okay. Yeah, I'm out. Pacers in four.
That's exactly what I thought. I didn't even know that.
That's crazy to me.
I saw a picture of that, and I was like, oh, whoa, okay.
I think my intramural basketball team could possibly run the Bucks into overtime, to be honest.
I think JJ Redick asleep could coach better than both of them.
Yes, agreed. Like
fully asleep, unconscious JJ Redick.
And that's no Lakers bias because, you know, we're rooting for the Lakers.
We're real capital J journalists. And then before we get out of here, not before yet, before we move on, before we get to the biased part of the Lakers, Timberwolves are good, man. They are very, very decent. And I just want to also ask you how worried you are about the Lakers center problem.
Like long-term, yes. I think they get
this season. They'll figure it out.
I think that I meant long-term in the playoffs, to be honest. I think in this round, it'll be fine. I still think I would probably pick the Lakers in six, even though it's 1-1 right now. You know, the Lakers got off to a slow start. That's fine. But we saw what the Lakers can be on Monday night when I think the final score, like the Lakers ended up winning by 12, but
they were
up 20, like the entire game. But to be honest with you, I think either whoever they play, whether it be the Rockets or the Warriors, probably going to be the Warriors. I think it's actually a good matchup for the Lakers. So I do see a path for the Lakers to get to the Western Conference Finals, but past that, when you're running into, I'll throw the options out there just because you want me to. The Nuggets, the Clippers, or most definitely the Thunder, they're going to have some issues.
Yeah, we'll see if the Thunder get that far. We'll see. So let's get to the next slide. So there's been something we've been holding back from you guys. So Davis and I made a bet. We may have been a little intoxicated at the time, but we made a bet nonetheless. I think the Thunder were playing, and we got in an argument about the Thunder. I don't even know how it even started, to be honest. But we were talking about it, and Davis was like, the Thunder are automatically going to make the conference finals. And I said, well, that's kind of silly because they lost in the semifinals last year and to a bad Mavericks team. And I was like, it could happen again this year. And somewhere along the way, it formed into a bet where the Thunder now have to make the conference finals or I owe Davis money. So I understand that odds is probably founded on a book like minus 10 million or something like that, because I think no team with a point differential this high has ever not made the finals or something like that. Mm-hmm. It's something insane. Like the Thunder are probably going to win the West. But Davis, as we just brought up, the Thunder have a tough possible second round matchup. Going through Denver or the Clippers is not a cakewalk, and I am hoping the Clippers make it out for all intents and purposes. I am all over the Clippers, but I want to give you your time to talk about the Thunder.
Yeah, I think obviously we didn't know this back then, so I'm just running with new news that since the bet was made, I find it to be good on my side that I think that the Nuggets Clippers series will go 6 or 7 deep. Like they are going to be exhausted and depleted, and the Thunder are going to sweep the Memphis Grizzlies, and they're going to have a lot of downtime to get some rest in. The Thunder have also won.
That's a great point.
They've also beat the Grizzlies by a combined 75 points or so in the last two games, and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander may have had his worst two games of the 2025
years. The Grizzlies have fully turned it off. They are not. Yeah.
Now they have, but they lost by 54 in the first game. I think that this Thunder team, and you see it here down in the hot takes, and we can get to it. I do not think this Thunder team will lose a game until the NBA Finals, where they match up with the Boston Celtics.
You're saying theoretically the Thunder will theoretically sweep the Lakers or the Warriors or the Rockets.
I think it would be more difficult for the Lakers to sweep, or for the Thunder to sweep the Clippers, then sweep anybody in the Western Conference Finals.
Put a little respect on the Lakers, Warriors, and Rockets. Those are three very, very talented teams.
I think the Lakers, we could see a type of kind of a series, but I don't see anything more than a gentleman sweep. And I think that the NBA Finals is going to be as it has been multiple times in the past 5 years. It wasn't last year because we got the Mavericks in there, but it's going to be predetermined the best two teams in the conference. We've seen that a lot recently.
Yeah.
So I do see a Thunder Celtics.
There's the Nuggets Heat year in 21 too. Like, there are anomalies. And yeah. I'm just going to back up the same argument I made to you when I made this bet. The only reason I feel confident in this is because SGA is such a number one option that he's almost their second option at the same time.
Mm.
So when you don't give the room for another guy to grow like that, it's only going to hurt your team come playoff time. I will say Jalen Williams looked really good last night, really good last night. I think he had like 24 points on like a couple misses, so he's getting there. But can a Jalen Williams, can a Chet Holmgren up their game to a number two option level in the playoffs? And I, at the end of the day, found that that is not going to be the case. Am I probably going to be wrong? Sure. But, but we'll see. We will see what team it comes down to, because I don't think the Lakers could probably guard them well. I think the Clippers could. I think the Rockets could. And the Warriors might. But, Davis, let's just talk about the Lakers now, too, because we also have Lakers futures that we placed the night of the Luka trade. We both have it at different odds, barely, but it's hefty sums both ways. So, I mean, we have this little bet that's like, I think it's $50 for the Thunder, but we care about the Lakers, right?
Yes, agreed. Okay. Without a doubt. The Lakers are my NBA team. Like,
I
don't have another NBA team until lottery night begins on May.
We'll May save that.
Or whatever.
We're going to capture the flag.
We'll see. I the odds are not in our favor. But let's get back to
39%.
I'm just saying. Since the Luka trade, we've seen the Lakers kind of go through ups and downs with
Luka. Sure. I was going
to
say that.
But they are kind of starting to peak at the right time, I would say. You know, the issues, obviously, with a big man down low are going to turn it already is an issue. But
they do not want to play Jackson Hayes. They don't want to play him. They're playing Rui at the small ball five.
Correct.
And that's great until you play guys like Joker or let's put some respect on Chet Holmgren's name because he's a decent player too.
But even Isaiah Hartenstein, like even just a big body, like Albert Sengun for the Rockets. Like, I think that they're going to have they're going to have. He's a great player, by the way.
What's his name? Did you call him Albert?
Yeah. What's his name? Algun.
I think it's Alperun.
Alperun.
Yeah. I didn't expect you to get it. It's just funny you called him Albert.
He'll be Albert Sengun from now on. I think that the Lakers, if they do peak at the right time, yes, that is this is a possibility that could happen. But I really think that we're going to have to see Luka 35 pieces every other night at this point.
That's pretty fucking likely.
I agree. Yeah. But I think it's a mix of Luka and Bron that everyone in the world knows that. But it's also a mix.
Sprinkle in some AR-15.
I was just going to say, well, on the back end of things, it needs to be Austin Reeves. It needs to be Rui Hachimura doing things that
– Dorian Finney-Smith, people don't know his name a lot. That guy's an excellent role player.
If he plays well, for sure. He's a guy who can step on the court and make somewhat of a difference. But Luka needs to be playoff Kawhi, in my opinion.
He needs to be a playoff Luka from last year.
Yeah, exactly. Because I think this Thunder team – I mean, take our bet away from it. I mean, this is – probably, honestly, the best NBA team we've seen since the 2018 Warriors, to be honest.
Makes me feel really bad about this $50 I have.
When it comes to ratings and when it comes to metrics, like, I haven't even watched a lot of the Thunder. I'm just following the metrics, and that is almost a fact that they're just as good or even a little bit better statistically than those Warriors. Different times.
By the way, hyping them up this much means they're destined to fail.
Yeah, I mean, I agree.
Not you and I, but like the media.
Yeah,
like,
I just think
everybody I've listened to has been like, my pick has been Celtics Thunder from preseason, and I'm not switching. Everybody says that.
That's like, I don't see the I don't see that like hype failure happening until maybe the Western Conference Finals. That's where my head's. I don't see the Clippers making, if the Clippers or Nuggets beat the Thunder, it could be one of the biggest upsets in the last 10 to 20 years in the NBA.
100%. But
even though those teams are good, like 100%. I'm not saying those teams aren't good. It's just how good the Thunder have been this year.
Yeah, which, you know, I've definitely felt less and less better about this from like the second we walked out of our buddy's house that night. Like the second, I was like, wow, that was pretty dumb. And
you were really confident.
Yeah, I was. And then we were talking about it a couple weeks later, and I was like, I don't remember the terms. And then he reminded me, and I felt worse again. So, again, we're all on the Lakers here in the Bocce Boys. We're all on the Lakers. Even if it's a Lakers-Thunder conference finals matchup and I've coughed up $50, I'll still be cheering with a smile on my face for the Lakers. Because Luka magic is real, folks. This guy is so good. And then the LeBron factor. Do not forget, this guy has not really been in a competitive playoff series in a couple of years. The Nuggets series, the last couple of years, newsflash, not competitive. I think they won one game in 8 games. Not competitive.
Yeah, Brian Windhorst saying it was the most competitive sweep of all time last year.
That was crazy.
You can't have a competitive
sweep. He did that specifically for, like, Twitter and Barstool. That's pretty much it.
Yep.
So, I think LeBron with a little extra juice is going to be fun. And he's around the rim way more than he ever has been now. Getting rebounds, like, it's a different aspect that we have not thought of yet. So, just want to throw that out there. I'm a Michael Jordan guy, but I respect LeBron. Let's give him his respect. And then my hot take, I said the Cavs don't lose to the Eastern Conference Finals, which I could see that. They are good. The Cavs, do not sleep on the Cavs. They might have a tough second-round matchup, but do not sleep on the Cavs. And then I think Golden State's going to beat Houston. I think it might happen in 5 or 6 games. This Golden State team is super-duper good. They have been the hottest team since the All-Star break, arguably. I think there's probably a couple other teams, like the Rockets, honestly. But the Warriors are really, really good. And Jimmy Butler, another dude that kicks it into gear in playoff time. Yep. Him and Draymond on the defensive end, too, is a nightmare. And this Rockets team, they're really good, really talented, really young, too. Really, really young, really inexperienced. Watching them, like, decide with Hot Potato who's going to shoot the last shot in the last 3 minutes is really sad. Passing it up to Fred VanVleet, miss a three, who was then 1 for 11 from three that night, really, really, really bad.
Yeah.
And then if you read in small print, if you're looking at YouTube, it says maybe 6 games. I don't know if you can read that. Maybe six.
Possible. I agree. I think the Warriors are going to win. I don't want to burst any bubbles here, but I just want to say this as a fact. Do you know that the Warriors to start the series were like -250 to win the series? Yes. Which also shocked me that it was that all. I mean, that a 2 seed was an underdog by that much. It is another reason why I will not start watching the NBA until playoff season, because these books and people know the Rockets had a great regular season. They were the number 2 seed in a phenomenal Western Conference this year.
Yep. Great defensive team.
They're going to run into a 7 seed Warriors team that everybody knows is better than them. And well,
for sure.
Like, you know what for I mean? Sure. So this Warriors team, honestly, the seedings could be flipped. Like,
for sure. But also, like, the Warriors were super duper bad before the Jimmy trade. So
for sure,
you know, the Warriors, I think, got to like the 5th seed at one point in the second half of the year too. It just shows how cutthroat the West is, that they were even a play-in game. Wild stuff. I'm really excited for that series. That's probably the second best series, low key, next to the Clippers and the Nuggets. Probably Warriors Rockets.
I'd argue that Pistons Knicks go there at 2, but
okay, it's a toss-up.
Those are the top three
for sure. By the way, I love Jalen Brunson as a Nova fan, but his foul baiting is getting bad.
It's so annoying.
It's bad. It's not good for my guy, JB. Not good. All right, Davis, let's get to baseball. Phillies lost again.
Yeah, that's 4 in a row for the Phillies. We're fine, Ethan. It's April.
Are we?
Yes. It's all fine. We're all good. Baseball does not start until Memorial Day.
Let me counter you with, our bullpen's terrible?
I mean,
all of the above?
this is the part of the season where you're testing and feeling, like if you're a contender, if you're a playoff team, you're testing and feeling the positions that you're going to need to upgrade throughout the season. And honestly, can I tell you something that people might hate? I'm kind of glad the bullpen's pitching so poorly, because it just means that we're going to go out and spend more. Okay. And
I thought you were going to tell me like Jordan Romano, and I was going to end this.
No. Like, I think it's an exaggerated ERA right now for our bullpen, to the point where the front office needs to make moves. Instead of maybe if we were middle of the pack, they would be like, yeah, like we can live with Joe Ross, we can live with Brad Hand. Like, no, we are 29th in the league right now, and they know that we need to get more arms in the pen, and they will now because of how bad it's been. So, Ethan, this is the part of the season that's kind of a blessing in disguise, because
for sure
our bullpen's been this bad. I know it's showing that we're middle of the pack right here, but we've played some good teams already. We played the Mets, we played the Cardinals, we played the Dodgers. Like, we played some pretty good teams, and we've had some pretty good series. We played the Giants in a 2-2 series tie.
Oh, the Cardinals are really far down that list.
We still haven't. Yeah, they just beat the Braves today or yesterday, which was nice. Helps us still, and at least wise. But I'll tell you this right now, Ethan.
Where's it going?
The Phillies will be fine. This season's not going to really pick up until Memorial Day.
I hope you're right. Yeah.
So,
I'm excited. Some really bad signs early, though, for sure.
I mean, for sure. There are some signs of not being able to hit with runners in scoring position. Alec Boehm, like, people
are talking about. They didn't have a single extra base hit today. They completely rely on the long ball, which is, you know, I think we were talking about this already. It'd be great if they could bring up a guy like Justin Crawford to get hits and play center, or even get a stopgap at center for the year. Someone that can get hits, because, I mean, I love a home run as much as the next guy, but it sucks when it's like, they hit a home run yet? Nope, still 4-0.
Yeah. Great. The guys will string it together in the same game. Like, you're seeing crazy stats. Kyle Schwarber's gotten on base every single game so far this season. Bryce Harper's gotten on base every game except two.
By the way, the guy you have on the screen, Stott, is red hot from the leadoff.
Maybe been the hottest player for the Phillies when it comes to the bat. I heard today Max Kepler has hit on base in 15 of his last 19. Like, it's just about bringing it all together. And by the way, Alec Boehm's on a 9-game hit streak right now. And people are talking about that.
Yep.
He had two hits today. He's gotten 12 hits over his last 9 games. People are blowing this early part of the season out of proportion, in my opinion.
I mean, this is Philly, man. People were trying to trade A.J. Brown last week.
For sure, 1,000%.
I don't get that. It makes me want to blow myself up. I don't get it. In Minecraft.
Yeah. The only thing that worries me a little bit is actually some other teams in the NL. Because I think the Cubs and the Padres and the Mets are actually very good teams.
The Mets are really good, man.
The Mets have the best record in the MLB as of this recording, depending if the Padres – I think the Padres actually may have lost today. So the Mets actually will be holding they were losing to the Tigers 4-0 last I saw. The Mets will have the best record in baseball as we wake up this Thursday morning.
Yeah, Padres lost 6-0 to the Tigers.
Yep. So we got swept. No team wants to get swept, but we just got swept by the best team in baseball, I guess, statistically.
Yeah. So, it helps that, you know, we did beat the Dodgers in three, four games too.
Yep.
Something.
Let's tell you, you want one more stat before we...
Positivity.
Phillies have not lost a home series since July of last year.
Nice.
People talk about how mediocre the Phillies sometimes can be. We're on a 4-game losing streak, but look, at least we
it's not at home.
We just need to pick it up on the road, and we'll be fine.
Oh, man. Yeah, I mean, I guess so. We're still a game above 500. Things could be worse. We could be the Sixers, where, you know, everything falls apart. But... Sure. I agree, Davis. Things will be better. It's just can't rely on any arm right now. Even Wheeler had a good outing today and we lost, which is annoying because he's had a rough start, to be honest. And then the last thing I want to bring up is Aaron Nola's washed, more washed than laundry.
First of all, Zach Wheeler's having a phenomenal start to the year. He's just given up the long ball a few too many times. I think Zach Wheeler, off the top of my head, I'm going to say given up 11 runs this year, in 11, 12 runs in 4 starts.
Yeah, I'm not saying he's bad. It's just people were saying Cy Young this year. That's all.
Oh, he's still. I bet you he's second in the Cy Young right now.
Yeah.
He's just given up the home run ball. He's given up a home run in every game. That's unfortunate. That's what's killing him a little bit.
I don't know if he's been attributed three losses, but I think he's lost three games so far. Not him personally, but it's tough because Wheeler's usually the guy that you see and you're like, oh, we're gonna win today. Nice.
Yep, yep. He had 13 strikeouts in his last start, and it was.
He's pitching.
Well. I'm not.
Everything around that.
Agreed. Aaron Nola is batting practice. I'm concerned about that. And Ethan, let me tell you right now, I know this is maybe the hottest take of the entire podcast. I think Aaron Nola should be the starter that goes to the bullpen once Ranger comes back. I think Taiwan should stay.
What about Ranger?
I think he'll be fine. He had a bad year last year. I mean, look,
keep the arm healthy though. Shouldn't he stay in like a lower?
I wouldn't
maybe use him as a two inning guy.
I wouldn't hate it. But I guess if he returns,
I like Nola out of the pen for the record. That's a good idea.
If he returns to the starting rotation, I think Nola could be a thought.
Is that assuming Painter comes up too?
If Painter comes up, Taiwan's out without a doubt. I just think if assuming Ranger and Painter are two starters that are going to be coming back again, Ranger might be in the bullpen.
And Sanchez now that he's hurt, yeah.
Taiwan and Nola will be the two spots that they take.
Okay.
Christopher Sanchez might be a top eight pitcher in baseball. By the way, I know that's way off topic, but he is. He's so good.
He's really good. I'm not gonna lie. He's really, really good.
And Lizardo's been good too.
Yeah, yeah. They have a great pen. Rotation. Just things have to fall into shape, and the order in which it happens is probably very important. So I hope they figure it out.
They will.
I agree. That made me feel better about myself, Davis. Thank you for uplifting the Philly spirits. It is
long
160.
Season.
No, 162.
162. So. We've only played 26, Ethan.
Yeah, I can't do that quickly. It's been a long day.
We're only like 13% of the season done. We're basically this is basically the Eagles being 1-1 to start their year.
This is like the Eagles losing to the Falcons when Saquon dropped it.
Yeah,
it's all
remember
good.
When the Eagles started 1-1 last year? That's exactly where the Phillies are right now.
When everyone's saying fire Sirianni.
Yeah, and then we started 2-2 and he shaved his head. That got crazy.
I can't believe he did that.
Good times.
That was wild. Also, before you go, shout out to my guy John Cena, 17 record. Let's go. Come on. Easy money. Shout out Travis Scott. You're a bitch.
Yeah, no thanks.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Sorry I made you watch that. I feel bad about that. That's tough. He throws up this. All right, guys. We like talking to you guys, all that shit. I messed it up. But like, subscribe, share, send it to your friends, tweet it, all that stuff. We appreciate it. Throw it up on Elon's platform. We appreciate you. Deuces.